Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacob. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. And today we are going to talk about equity. All right. One of my favorite subjects, since I'm the publisher of a magazine called Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity. A magazine for Pre-K-12 educators online at ace-ed.org. It's all online. ace-ed.org. All right, we have Jessica Slawerski, Jessica Reed Slawerski. You may know her by her maiden name as well before she married Mr. Slawerski. Okay, she's a former teacher, district literacy coach, and chief academic officer, and she is the CEO of Open Up Resources, which O-U-R, like our, okay? Okay, and she's going to talk to us about equity and what she does. We need all the resources we can get right now with the COVID crisis. And if you listen to this show, you're going to find out what Jessica has done to help with that. She was doing it long before this, because equity was a challenge long before this COVID crisis. And it's an even greater challenge today. Access, of course, and equity. And go over to our website, ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Our magazine is up there. Okay, we rebranded the magazine to be titled Equity and Access Pre-K-12. You'll really like it. And we have something called the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And it's kind of an acronym, ACE-ED. Okay, American Consortium for Equity in Education. Please join in. We're going to put together a large group of educators and thought leaders and people in the industry and work together for equity in education. It's going to be a big deal. This show is going to be archived at education-talkradio.org. Our schedule is up there. You can check that out. Please follow us on Twitter, two places, at EduTalk Radio and also at Access to Equity, the number two, Access to Equity, ED. Okay, those are the two Twitter sites. All right, please check out our magazine. You're going to love it at ace-ed.org. You're going to love the whole website and join in our consortium. And right now, here's the one and only the lovely Jessica Reed. I'm Jessica Reed Slawerski, I might add. Hi, Jess. It's nice to have you here.
Hi, Larry. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you here. You're quite the lady. You've developed something really cool over at Open Up Resources, which is openupresources.org. And I wanted to, this show was originally planned to do long before COVID, okay? And now what you're doing is so darn important, okay, that we got to really, really get into everything that you've done. You're really quite a lady, I got to tell you, Jess. You really are. Tell us about yourself.
Thank you.
I
went to UCLA for undergrad, which is why I still have a 310 area code, which is now like a vintage area code. But I actually live in Oakland, so it is bright and early in the morning here, and I have asked my lovely husband, that Mr. Slawerski that you alluded to make sure that our 5-year-old gives me a few moments of peace.
Did I get that name wrong? I'm sorry. Did I do that wrong? Is anybody insulted?
No, you got it completely right. I'm so impressed. You must have had really strong phonic construction when you were a child.
There you go.
That name just rolled right off your tongue.
I lived in Chicago for a long time. Slawerski. It's easy to do. Okay.
But
it's great. And you're up in Oakland now. Okay, so you moved north. Okay, and I just want to ask you before we even get started on the show, how you doing with all the COVID stuff? Do you have kids at home and all that sort of thing?
I do. I have a 5-year-old, and then I have my husband, and then I have a dog. So I'm the mother of three.
So you have two kids. Let me do the story. You have the 5-year-old, your husband, and what was the third one? That's a riot.
A dog.
What's the dog's name?
His name is Rusty. He is a 5-pound Yorkshire Terrier. And
perfect.
Before I had a real human child, he was a child. So
of course,
he would
everybody.
Be dressed up in clothes and totally babies. Yeah.
I named my cat after my son. Okay, they have the same name. My son is Elliot and my cat is Elliot. Okay, and my son always gets mad at me. And I said, I can't think of any more cool names. So I'm going to name everything I own Elliot from now on. Okay, so what's your son's name?
Well, I don't have a son. I have a daughter. She's 5 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. Larry, no need to apologize. We're just getting to know each other.
Yes. What's her name?
So
what's that lovely lady's
name? Her name is Penelope, but we call her Poppy.
I love it. I love it. It's a beautiful name, Penelope. I love it when people take the old names and make them work, and that's a beautiful name, Penelope. I love it. Is she a Slawerski?
She is a Slawerski, and I'll tell you, my mom, when I was pregnant and I told my mom what we were planning to name the baby, my mom, who's also an educator, looked at me and said, Penelope Slawerski? She'll never be able to fit her name on a Scantron form.
I love it. And think about it. It's the right number of syllables for each. Think about it. Roll.
Right?
Penelope Slawerski.
It just
rhymes. It just goes. Penelope Slawerski. I love it. It's the exact right number of syllables. Okay, so tell Poppy. Hi, Poppy. Welcome to the show today.
She only recently learned how to actually pronounce her last name. It took 5 years.
I did better than she did. Well, there you go. Okay, it's great. And just be safe out there and take good care of her, okay, and your other two charges out there, Jess. It's crazy.
Yes,
I live all the way across the country from you in Maine, and I live in a more rural area, so it's a little easier here, but just be careful, you know?
Yes, you too. We've been sheltering. We're now starting, this is week 3 for us, and
yep,
we're taking
yep,
very, very seriously.
As well you should. And now I want to get, this is what you have created here, what you call it OUR, our Open Up Resources, openupresources.org, okay? I just want you to tell people your background a little bit so they understand where this came from. And then we'll get into, A, what OUR is, and then, B, how it relates so much, more so than ever in these crazy times, to an equity and accessibility thing. So go ahead, tell us about yourself, Jess.
I'd be happy to. So I come into this work having been an educator, and I actually still think of myself as an educator. And up until the COVID crisis really became real for us here in the United States, I was even still spending a significant portion of my time each week working in an actual classroom. So I'm still so deeply connected to the realities of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So I started my career as a teacher in New York City. I was part of Teach for America. I taught for a couple of years in the Bronx. And for those who don't know, oftentimes when you're a core member in Teach for America, you're coming into the field of education not having gone through a traditional teacher preparation program. And, of course, we could go down a rabbit hole talking about the pros and cons of that, and we won't have that conversation today, Larry. We'll save it for another day.
We can do it any day you want.
Don't tempt me. I might actually make myself a regular on your show because I love
You're
talking
welcome,
about these
believe
things.
Me. You're welcome.
So through the experience of TFA, I had originally planned, as I was in college thinking about what I wanted to do with my life, to be a lawyer. And when I heard about Teach for America, it really spoke to my heart. And I thought to myself, when else can I do this in my life? And so I went to New York City, having never even visited, and began teaching in the Bronx. And I remember at the end of my very first day of teaching, climbing up the 4 flights of stairs to my walk-up apartment on the Upper West Side, entering my apartment and just collapsing in a puddle of tears because my eyes had been fully opened at that point to the inequities of education in America. I grew up in a solidly middle-class family that valued education, where both of my parents were college educated. I was surrounded by books growing up, and I didn't understand the bubble of privilege that I lived in until I was teaching.
Yep.
And I made a commitment at that point in my life. I said, you know what, this is what I'm going to do, because if I can help any other teacher avoid being in this situation of entering a classroom and being completely overwhelmed by, first of all, just, I was teaching fifth grade, and the number of children who were well below grade level, particularly in literacy. And I wasn't equipped with a high-quality curriculum that would enable me, despite how desperately I wanted to serve my babies, I didn't have the tools at my fingertips to really and truly support them. And I did the best that I could every day. And sadly, the bar was so low that I seemed like I was a really great teacher, right? Because I could manage my classroom and they did, you know, well on the state test at the end of the school year. But knowing everything I know now about pedagogy, I know that I wasn't doing as well as I could have done were I equipped with high-quality curriculum as well as access to the professional learning that could have really supported me to help my kids.
Dead on right on both counts. Yep.
So when I left the classroom in the Bronx, I was there for 2 years as part of my PFA tenure. I then went to Success Academy Charter Schools and taught for another year there, moved into school leadership. And I discovered while being an assistant principal that I really liked coaching teachers. And so I did the thing that very few people do, which is I ended up leaving Success Academy and going back to district schools.
Wow.
And at that point, right? So I wanted to take everything I had learned and work to share that with school leaders at a network of approximately 22 secondary schools in New York City. And so I was coaching principals. And while I was coaching
network or was it just a how was it networked? Why was it networked?
Something, yeah.
Whatever that
was,
question is. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great question. So it's a nonprofit called the Urban Assembly. And
I just interviewed them last week. I interviewed my goodness, they were just on the show last week.
Oh, who did you interview?
You caught me off guard. I can't remember. A wonderful guy, okay, who's running their social-emotional learning. I just can't think of the name.
Was it Vinny?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
I'll send it to you. I have it. I just don't have it right here, okay, in front of my God, I'm embarrassed that I don't remember. Okay?
Well,
they're a wonderful group.
But
they sponsored last week a social-emotional learning day, which was a virtual day which people could still go to, okay, on the web and figure out what they did. But that's amazing that you brought that up. I had no idea you knew them. And I apologize. I just can't think of a name. I've hit a blank in my head.
No, that I'm sitting here with a huge smile on my face because they are a phenomenal group of educators working in some of the toughest schools in New York City and making a difference, right? And that was a really powerful experience for me as I was coaching principals as part of that network and working with them specifically around literacy. And while I was doing that, I was approached by an entrepreneur who knew of my work at Success Academy and asked me to consult with him on a literacy app that he was building. And so I started consulting at night and on the weekends, and my thinking was, oh, this is great. I'm helping to build an app that I can ultimately use to further support the coaching that I'm doing in school.
Mm-hmm.
And then that app accidentally became an ed tech company, and I realized I had this opportunity to impact even more children and classrooms across this country.
Yeah.
And so I became chief academic officer and co-founder.
What was that called?
So I believe it still exists. It's called LightSail, and it's a supplemental literacy application that enables kids to read digital books and take assessments in real time and then feed that data to teachers. Yeah.
Wonderful. By the way, our friend over there at Urban Assembly, David Adams and Jillian Finley, that's who I know.
Oh, cool. Okay, so I don't know them, but, I mean, they only hire the best of the best over there.
It was a great show. Last week, I'll send it to you. When we're done here, I'll send you the link. You can listen.
Oh, please do. That would be
great. Oh, I will.
So I was working at this ed tech company, and that was really my first foray into this realm of like the business side of education and being an entrepreneur. And while I was at LightSail, I also while birthing, you know, the application that felt like it was my baby, I at that point also had my real baby.
The real baby, Penelope. Penelope the baby.
Yep, Penelope came along. And right after she was born, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I went through several months of grueling treatment and came out of that realizing that.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Wow.
Realizing that there were things in my life that I wanted to change. When you go through such a harrowing experience, it really refocuses your priorities. And at that point, we left New York City and moved back to the Bay Area where I could be closer to family and sunshine and organic food and, you know, all the things that California is known
for. Sunshine, you can get the organic food out east, but it's the sunshine that you really need in California. I'm so glad you're over that cancer experience. I hadn't realized that. That's no fun, for goodness sakes. It's horrible.
And you know, kind
but
of
you learned something. Now you got to go through COVID, this mess. So,
right.
You know, like, there ain't no justice, but hopefully there ain't. We'll all learn that, so we'll get that together. So how did you get started with OUR? Open up resources. And by the way, this is great stuff, everybody. Openupresources.org. Check it out. Okay, go ahead. Talk, Jess.
So it's funny. I'll bring it back to Urban Assembly again. An opportunity when I was there to work for a nonprofit that was focused upon supporting educators. And that was such a powerful experience for me. And as I was kind of rebuilding my life emotionally, physically, personally, and professionally after coming out of cancer, I really wanted to get back to nonprofit work that was fully mission-driven. And Open Up Resources was just getting started. I am not the CEO of Open Up. I am second CEO. And I was able to join Open Up Resources when we were gearing up to go to market with our very first open full course curriculum, our middle school math curriculum.
Yeah.
And got to help build out the English language arts team that would be engaging in the field with school districts around our forthcoming elementary English language arts program. And then very quickly also started overseeing the math field team and became the CEO's choice of successor. And he started grooming me. And I had this really weird background of having been in the classroom, having been
a great
school leader, an instructional coach, an entrepreneur, right? It was like all these, just the right bizarre unicorn mix of skill sets to be able to take Open Up Resources to the next level as we really work to scale these phenomenal curricula that we've put out into the world that are fully open for all educators to access. And I'll tell you, Larry, I mean, the universe is a crazy thing. I feel so grateful that as an organization, we are in the place where we are today, that we have full course English language arts curricula, two programs available on our website, as well as middle school math and high school mathematics, and a social emotional learning supplemental curriculum. We can be in a position to support educators and the families that they serve during this really really
this,
scary
this crazy,
time
nutsy time crazy time scary time okay of coronavirus. Okay, and you're there. And again, everybody, I want to say openupresources.org. I do have a complaint, and I hope Therese, my good friend who works for you with PR, is listening. I do want more press releases about what you're doing. How have you been getting the word out? I thank you for coming on our show today. Of course, I love that. Okay, but beyond me, okay, how are you getting the word out about OUR, Jess? so educators know about it?
We definitely leverage things like social media where there's a large educator presence. We are working on myriad thought leadership pieces around the work that we're doing. And then, of course, being able to talk to folks like you who really care about equity and understand how important it is that, right, that we work to support all kids in our country, right, particularly those who are most vulnerable.
Well, you know, what's happening, Jess, if I may, and I don't want to wish this on anyone, okay, we have always kicked the can down the road on equity and accessibility. Most districts are trying, but we're learning now, because we have to learn, that all the schools are closed, but learning must go on. And yet there are literally millions of kids who do not have access to learning right now, okay? And that's because some kids have computers, and you said it at the beginning of the show when you were talking about teaching in the Bronx, it's education by zip code, okay? And every school district is trying. I have no complaint about that. Everybody's trying, but we just learned the big lesson, okay? Equity matters, and I like our website is our magazine is ACNE. Our website is ace-ed.org. The ACE, I like to say, access changes everything. Okay, access creates equity. ACE. Okay, and we've been trying to get the message out, like about companies like yours and the things you do, and the educators who use it in the mags. I think it's just great. And please go over, Jess, I'm asking you and everybody else, ace-ed.org. We have a consortium of interested people. We're just starting, called the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Okay, we'd love to have you guys involved with us. Okay, I really mean that.
Thanks, Larry.
And everybody listening,
would,
and if you could help us spread the word.
Be part
you know,
of
we
that.
Do a pretty good job here. But and the more the merrier. We would love it. You're cordially invited. You know, and by the way, I just have to say the mission statement, okay, right on open up resources. I'll just read it here, to increase equity in education by making excellent top-rated curricula freely available to districts. Where's the curriculum come from? How does a district, let's say I'm a district here in Maine where I live, all the way across the country from you, okay, literally, okay? When I go to openupresources.org, what do I have to do? I'm a district in Maine. I'm like the guy, you know, I'm mayhem. I'm the district in Maine, you know? Okay.
You can go to our website and you can access any of our math or English language arts programs simply by register. So we want to be able to see who is accessing these resources so that we can then simultaneously in our conversations with districts, be able to say, listen, we see all of the teachers in your district who are coming here, who are using our resources, who are joining our also freely accessible community of practitioners and participating in various forms of virtual professional learning communities. And how can we now work with you, school district, to help scale this and better support your teachers so that there's equitable access across your district. And this has been a really helpful technique for us as we've worked to scale these resources. Mm-hmm. We, you know, speaking of this community that we've stood up, it's not enough for us to just put this curricula out there. What we've also learned is that practitioners need a real-time group of like-minded practitioners, almost like a support group, right? And the beauty of you can go as a teacher teaching, for example, our high school mathematics curriculum, and you can go into the community, and as you're planning your lessons for tomorrow and you have a question, say, about how to best support English language learners while you teach this curriculum, you could ask that question to the community and within seconds have a response. And so we have this safety net and support group that, especially in moments like this, Larry, where so many teachers and schools were not prepared, right? And it's not because they're horrible people. It's because when you're a teacher,
far from that.
You're doing
And who would have
expected
this? Who would have expected this? So that's A.
Exactly.
We know that.
Exactly.
Okay, so nobody's putting blame on anybody, but now we have the responsibility to make things work.
Right.
Okay,
and there's
a big difference between blame and responsibility. So we got caught short here. We got caught short, and you know some districts, they can do online learning. I'll just make up a number here for 70% of their students, but there's 30% who don't have access to that. Okay, because the libraries are closed. They can't even go to a place and get a hotspot. They can't even go outside. All right? And so if 30% of the kids are going to fall behind, you can't do it for anyone. And some of the districts have literally just shut down.
I know.
Okay? Because there's an equity law. And I'll take it one step further. Think about children in special education and that sort of thing. So we've got a real challenge on our hands, okay? And we know we have to make this work. And part of it is getting the right curriculum. I asked you before, who wrote the curriculum? Where'd the curriculum come from?
So we partner with other nonprofit organizations who are what we consider expert authors, right? So VL Education is one of our elementary English language arts curricula. Bookworms is the other one. The author of Bookworms is a reading researcher out of the University of Delaware. Her name's Sharon Walpole. Mm-hmm. EL Education is a national nonprofit who comes out of Harvard School of Education and Outward Bound.
Yeah, I know EL. Yeah, yes.
And so they've got their whole curriculum writing team. And then our, high school math curriculum, for example, we partnered with a team of mathematicians out of the University of Utah. So there's various groups that we kind of look at them as like these orphan authors, right? They're out there, they're creating really phenomenal material. But because they haven't been picked up or purchased or whatever by a more traditional publisher, they haven't been able to scale because it's a lot of work to scale a curriculum. If you're an expert at writing curriculum, you're not necessarily an expert at selling, marketing, and distributing and disseminating those materials. And so we come in as a partner who not only supports during the writing process, being able to help incubate these materials so that they are that much stronger when they do get released to the market, but we also support with things that need to happen in order to successfully scale these really marvelous curricula.
That's great. And just if I may, I mean, and people are thinking about this. All this is free, that what you offer. A teacher could just go and register and it's theirs. Boom, right?
Yes. For our core curricula program, the materials are freely accessible and everything is there, right? The thing to keep in mind is that oftentimes when the word free is named in education, it could be like free lesson plans or free units of study, right? This
mm-hmm.
is comprehensive curriculum. This is everything that you would
mm-hmm.
need to teach, for example, kindergarten English language arts. So it is thousands of pages of content, assessments, checklists, diagnostics, everything is included in there. And so the curriculum in and of itself is a form of professional learning. You can't help but become a better teacher when you are handed or you can access materials like this. And then we take it a step further because we know that in and of itself is not enough. That's like tier one for teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tier two is this additional support that we provide with our Facebook communities. So we've
mm-hmm.
set up Facebook communities for each one of our curricula, and they are just this magical group of educators from all across the country who are coming together and supporting one another around implementing these curricula with fidelity. And in a moment like this, Larry, you really see the power of community. We have been able to stand up real-time town halls to listen in and understand what educators' needs are right now so that they can have some semblance of continuity of instruction. And we've then from there stood up specific groups. For example, how to leverage Zoom in order to continue teaching the same curricula with your students. So it's been a really inspirational place amidst everything that's happening in the world right now. And I'm really excited. This is the first time I'm talking about this, but we just made the decision to go virtual with our national conference. So we were watching a lot of other organizations were canceling their professional learning this summer.
Oh, yeah.
We decided, even though it certainly will be a lift, but it feels like the absolute right thing to do, we're going to go virtual with our
in Silicon Valley, you got to go virtual.
Right. And it's actually creating an opportunity for us to be even more innovative around how we step up and support educators during this time. This will be in June, and it's actually going to take place over the course of 5 days because we realize that nobody can sit for a full 2 days in front of their computer.
Right.
That would be bonkers. And so we are breaking it up over 5 days. We have various pathways facilitated by authors of the curriculum, other really phenomenal professional learning providers. And we are also going to have keynote speakers and folks who have deep expertise in distance learning, because while there is COVID-19 right now, we also want to make sure that teachers are prepared for what challenges the fall may bring, so that if there is a disruption, they can continue to seamlessly instruct and they're a lot more comfortable with distance learning. And we're also thinking a lot about this reality, and I think you named this a little bit earlier in the call, where kids are missing almost half of a school year this year. They're going to start next school year, hopefully back in classrooms in front of their teachers, but it won't be business as usual.
No, it
teachers
will not be, and I'm going
to
say
prepared.
Something else, if I may. We have to be prepared for maybe another close down, shutdown, because there's a chance that coronavirus could pop up again. And if we don't have a vaccine, we're going to have to do the same. Did I jump your gun? I didn't mean to do that. Did I jump the gun on you on that one?
So, there's that point, but there's also that when kids have missed half a year of school, and it's not like, you know, we went into this, Larry, with every child in our country already on grade level, right? Like, we know how abysmal math and literacy achievement is. And so now we're compounding this achievement gap. And so teachers are going to need to be prepared to cover ground that was lost this school year and still, to the best of their ability, adhere to their grade level scope and sequence. That is a monumental task, right? And the beauty of open educational resources like ours is that teachers can take those materials and they can iterate. We are working with educators now to create scope and sequences so that we can support them come fall when they're looking at even greater gaps that need to be closed. And also, as you mentioned, the reality that
we don't know where it's all going to end.
That kids are going to physically be present for all of the fall. And so shame on us as a country if we don't find a way to support educators so that they don't experience the chaos that they're experiencing right now. It's just not okay.
You're here. We're on the same team.
Vulnerable children.
Are you familiar with our magazine at all? Have you ever looked at it? You should go over there, ace-ed.org. You'll love it. We'll get you to be a part of it with some editorial and stuff, if you like.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
You'll love what we do, and we love what you do. We're both kind of on the same in the same wheelhouse. It's funny, we haven't met prior to this, but I'm so glad we just did. And by the way, the name of the conference is it? I don't know if it's an acronym, but it's HIVE, like a beehive.
It's
HIVE 2020.
Like
is it an acronym? It's like Heroes Involved in Virtual Education. There you go. HIVE.
Oh my gosh.
Take it.
I think
it's
I need
yours.
To hire you. Do you want to be our virtual event planner?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Heroes involved in virtual education, HIVE 2020. It's open up resources at conference. I just made up the acronym. Okay, but it is
That's
cool. It's a fun acronym.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's perfect for the moment. And
there you go. It's yours. It's yours.
To bring it
it's yours.
To our, our planning committee.
Right. You take credit for it. Don't you worry about it. You take credit for it. Okay. I'm going to send you the show. We're going to do more. Are you around? Stupid question. Everybody's around. I'm going to call you later today. Okay.
I would love that. I'm pretty open. So it'd be great to talk
more. Well, I'll leave you a message. If you can't pick up the phone, you call me when you can. Okay, that's the way
that
it is.
Good.
Everybody's home. I don't. This you can't say I'm in a meeting because I know you're not. Nobody can be. Okay, no, you can be, of course, virtually.
Well,
heroes involved in virtual education. I'm telling you, Jess, it's yours.
I know, and you know what, Larry? I might actually be in a meeting because our organization prior to COVID-19 was already a fully remote organization.
There you go. And so is mine, by the way, here at the magazine and the podcast. We're all in different places. Okay. But the teachers have to get used to having their kids all in different places. That's what it's about. And we're going to do more together. And, of course, we'll get you back on the show, but I'll talk to you about this as we get closer to June for your conference. Okay,
oh,
maybe we can
amazing.
Carry some of your folks live and that sort of thing. We'll get you involved in a lot of stuff we do. I love what you're doing, and you're just a terrific person. You really are. I can tell.
Oh.
Penelope's lucky.
Thank you.
And so is the world-famous Mr. Slaworski.
I'm going to play that soundbite for him whenever
okay,
he's
do that.
Mad at me.
Do that. The world-famous Mr. Slaworski.
You're lucky.
Right? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Larry
Jacobs
says you're lucky.
Yeah, he is lucky. I hope he knows how lucky he is, but I have a feeling he probably does. Okay, I'm going to send you all this stuff. I'll talk to you. I'll put in a call to you later today. Jess, thanks a million. You
all
have
right.
a good day.
Thank you
okay?
so much. Take care.
Oh, you're more
Be
than
safe.
Welcome. Thank you. Oh, you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. She's great. We never met before. We hit it off. Okay, Jessica Slaworski, everybody. Jessica Reed Slaworski, and she's the CEO of Open Up Resources. This is a great resource for you, openupresources.org. All right, we'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Please go over to ace-ed.org and sign up for our consortium. I'm going to get Jess to do that, all right, and get us a free subscription to the magazine. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. What fun on a time when we all have to be together and work together to make this better, make sure kids get educated. Check it out, openupresources.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. And above everything else, please be safe. Thanks.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.